This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Barton Hahn. What hour is it, Bart Scott?
The power hour. The call out.
Yeah, we'd have that too. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number to be part of the conversation. And this is a really good time for us, Bart, to discuss something. I don't know if I've mentioned this yet today. So the Knicks won last night in Chicago. And with that win over the previously undefeated Bulls, the Knicks have moved into first place in the Eastern Conference. Did you know? I can't believe I didn't say it earlier in the show. I'm really surprised at myself.
What's their record?
But that really did happen. They are 4-1.
Isn't like 20 other teams 4-1?
No.
Oh, it's the power index.
What matters, of course, is the fact that they are in first place. Okay. I mean, I think that's really what starts there, right? Like, nothing else really matters beyond that. So the Knicks are in first place. And it just sounds good to say, so I just keep saying it. Now, it was a great, for the Knicks, it was a great 45-minute performance. Just the last 3 minutes.
It's kind of crazy.
You're up 13. Suddenly, it's a one-point game because you miss some shots, turn the ball over. Two free throws by Randall. You know, Randall had his fingerprints all over the meltdown. He didn't have a great game, but he still almost had a triple-double. But just that the closing the game, and it reminded me of the season-opening win over the Celtics, which was an epic two-overtime battle.
Yep.
But they had a lead and blew it last minute of the game.
6 points, and then you think about Kemba with the lazy pass cross court.
Yeah.
This is important because the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. One of these games you're going to lose.
That's right.
So you need to tighten this ship up, and they need to work on situations and figure out how they're going to close games out, how to be proficient, and how not be the one that panic. Understand that teams are going to be desperate. They're going to take shots. They're going to foul you. They're going to put you on the line. They're going to trap. You got to have a plan for all that type of stuff, man.
You also have to know, like, you know, instead of tipping the ball, just grab the rebound. They're going to foul you. You're right. You're going to just smart. You know, defensively also, you know, what you don't want to do is foul and put them at the free throw line and stop the clock. You don't want to do dumb stuff like that either. So it's just little things that with this team that you feel like because, you know, what's their ceiling? What's their potential, right? Tim Legler told us he thinks they could be as high as 3 in the East. That's their potential. Problem, of course, is that you see stuff like this, clean this up. Now, it's better to learn from something while winning rather than, of course, having to deal with it and then taking L's. So that's the good news because, you know, the wins have allowed them to be in first place. I don't know if I said that. First place in the Eastern Conference, and that part's important. But you still have to tough it out. You're still on the road. You know, that was a great crowd at United Center. I mean, it really felt like old school Knicks and Bulls with the crowd and everything going on with it. And to get this kind of win, to hold on and get the win with the defensive stop that R.J. Barrett got against DeMar DeRozan, all that's important for Tom Thibodeau. That's all that matters.
Yeah, well, you knew there would be emotion in this game, and then there was and that's the challenge of getting ready to play in this league every night. That's a big part of winning. And so the emotion of the building, the fact that they were undefeated, that off to a great start, playing great basketball, we knew we were going to have to be at our best, and we're still striving to be a 48-minute team, and we're not there yet. So we know we got a lot to work on. But I thought the way we started the game, to start the game up 16-6, I thought it spoke to the readiness of the team to play. And then we knew there'd be runs in the game. It's a long game. You got to keep going. You have to navigate through the ups and downs of a game. But to have the mental toughness, the physical toughness, the emotional toughness to get through whatever's coming our way. And that's what I was proud of. We handled it all.
Can I give you one stat, Bart?
Mm-hmm.
So last night, Kemba Walker hit five threes, right? Five threes.
Five.
He's hit 10 in 2 games. He has made 18 in the first 5 games of the season. Okay? 18. Do you know how many threes Elfrid Payton made as the starting point guard last season?
That would be 2.
Yeah, no. He had more than that, but still. For over 65 games, Payton hit 29. Kemba Walker has 18 already through 5 games.
Keep him healthy, man.
Yep. Just shows you the difference when you have scoring at the point guard position.
Derrick Rose,
and then Derrick Rose came off the bench, gave you 12. So to these two guys right now, and they're both playing under 30 minutes each per game, they're both kind of splitting the game down the middle. That kind of production at that position has been the missing element for this team for years, and I really do think it's been a difference so far. Let's take Jonathan in New York. Jonathan.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. I think you guys are awesome and probably the best duo on radio, honestly.
I'll take your word for it. Thank you.
I had a comment I was going to make, and then I have a two-part question. So the first comment is obviously it's going to be Knicks-related, and I just want to mention that I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, and I know everybody's been through all the struggles. But the big thing that sticks out to me about this team, and then part of a lot of the core from last year, Knicks fans were used to, competing, being in games, and then come fourth quarter, we just drop the ball and it just turns into a complete mess.
Mm-hmm.
This year, and then parts of last year as well, I feel this team has, the right stuff to be able to hang in those games at the end and those situations where, like Chicago, where you come out by a point and win that game and you blow those last 3 minutes. I think it says a lot about a team like this that could keep that lead and not lose the game and not let it get past what had happened, in the game yesterday. Because the usual Knicks would blow that lead and then lose the game by 9 or 10 points.
Well,
so I think that, they're making huge strides.
Okay, yeah, and I think it helps to have talent, right? It starts there. Jonathan, I agree that getting the win is the better result than obviously seeing them blow the lead and lose that game, which would be such a painful game. That's why I look at that Magic loss at the Garden where they're up 9 late in the third quarter and they can't close the quarter and then everything slips away in the fourth as another example. Like, they shouldn't have lost that game. We all know it. They knew it. But since that game, they came out, they played the Sixers, they played them tough, and they were up 13 late in the game against the Bulls. So you know they're a good team. And the great teams are the ones that learn how to close out games rather than have to hang on at the end. So that's what you want to see, but you figure you have the faith in a coach like Tom Thibodeau that they'll figure it out. Thank you, Jonathan, for that. Pierre is in Chicago. Pierre, how are we doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was calling that game last night. It was great. I was at the game. I'm kind of mad the Bulls lost, but it showed that I kind of figured they were going to lose with that Knicks defense that Thibodeau said, like, they're buying into what he's selling.
Oh yeah.
And the Knicks look real good, and I knew they was going to try. I knew they was going to pull it out. I was praying that the Bulls could go ahead and just sneak a little win and be 5-0, but they didn't do it. Okay.
What do you think though of the Bulls? Do you believe in them in their new look? Their starting five, obviously adding DeRozan with LaVine, another elite scorer. Lonzo Ball didn't have a great game last night, but his passing ability and his defense should have a positive impact. Do you think they've got that they are also back as a franchise?
Oh, the Bulls are back. They're going to be in the top. Like I said before, they're going to be in the top four in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls and the Knicks, because they are the team. They're exciting. They're Excuse me?
I said, who are you kicking out then? You kicking Philly out?
I'm kicking Philly out. Philly's got to go, and it's like the Nets got to get it together.
So it's just Miami? So you just got the Bucks in Miami, and then it's the Knicks and Atlanta?
The Knicks and the Bulls because of the defense.
What about Atlanta? Trae Young's balling.
Atlanta, they don't have enough.
They're one of the deepest teams in the East.
Yeah, they are deep. But one thing that's going on.
You see what happened when Trae Young went out last year? What happened when Trae Young, when he was gone? That was it.
Well, here's the thing, though, and thanks for the call, Pierre.
Collins just dunked on somebody else.
You saw just now. You saw James Harden has not used the rules as an excuse for his slow start. He's saying he's still trying to work through the hamstring stuff. Trae Young, though, is talking about the rules changes and how it's affecting him because he's not getting away with a lot of stuff, and now it's turning into turnovers instead of what used to be just a parade to the free throw line.
Yep.
He's seeing it like a direct impact of this stuff. And for those guys, it's got to be frustrating. John is in New Jersey. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good.
Nice job out there. My comment is basically, why wasn't IQ in the lineup when the Bulls had to foul? He needs to put out his best free throw shooters. We see that Randle cracks under pressure, especially on the road when it comes to critical free throws. And I think IQ was the best free throw shooter on the team. So why wasn't he in the lineup?
It's an interesting take. I mean, Julius Randle is your leading scorer. He's your all-NBA player. He's your leader. He's your star. To not put him – I mean, Patrick Ewing in those situations wasn't always clutch. But you don't put him on the bench. I don't know what kind of message that sends. I get you're looking at the numbers, but you know, in any other game, Randle just had a bad game, but there's no way you leave him on the floor. All right, Barton Hahn.
Patrick Williams out, too.
Yeah, you just see that. Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski just reporting this. Patrick Williams took a hard fall trying to dunk the basketball last night against the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson got the flagrant on the foul. He landed, you know, tried to brace himself. Yeah, he's going to miss, according to Woj, the rest of the season with a left wrist dislocation. Mm. According to sources, he's going to have surgery soon. So that's tough news for a really talented young player for the Chicago Bulls. All right, Barton Hama brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. All right, we go to the Goodyear hotline right now. We bring in our good friend Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager, who joins us right now. Doug, how we doing?
Doing well, fellas. Happy Halloween weekend, everyone.
Yes, happy Halloween weekend. Before we get to the NFL stuff, I'm curious. The Michigan-Michigan State game seems like it's getting a lot of action, according to the stuff I'm reading. How would you play it?
You know, it is really tough because both teams have been bet-on teams. That means they've been kind of rewarding bettors all season. So they each have only one loss ATS. So they're 11-2 ATS combined against FBS opponents. So for me, I'm staying away. I am looking at the under a little bit, but, you know, with these kind of big play abilities, even in the run game, it's always something that is a little tricky. The number's obviously fairly low as well. So I would look to the under, maybe first half under, if at all, I would play that. But I just can't play a side. I would lean to Michigan State plus the points because I think both teams capable of winning it. So why not grab the points with Sparty if I had to?
Yeah, right. For the home team, certainly as well. Did we get a bit of an overreaction last night with the Packers on that final line before kickoff, considering they didn't have Lazard, didn't have Adams?
It sure looks that way. I mean, yeah. Rodgers made a lot of guys look like he had a lot of chemistry, you know, for many, many years. Just with the ball placement, he's really so good. I mean, we just can tell right away just how dominant he is. But the Packers defense came to play, man. They were flying around and, you know, Kyler Murray just didn't make a couple plays that he's used to making. The NFL, man, road teams have done well all year. The underdogs have been doing well the last few years as well. It's just really hard to lay points in the NFL, especially when the underdogs are live on the money line.
It's weird to me. It seems like a lot of the money is going to the Lions to beat Philadelphia. What indication, you know, is it out
emotion
there? Yeah, it's out there that, you know, just, you know, I know they've been biting kneecaps and getting knocked down and getting back up, but you know, do we think that they get their first victory this week?
There's actually been sharp money on both sides. So you're not wrong with the Lions, but some Eagles money. I mean, look, the Lions have a few players, but they've been playing hard, and we saw what they did to the Rams last week. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Detroit is 4-3 ATS this season. So against the spread, they've rewarded backers. The Eagles obviously have looked terrible at times. Prime time against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago, they were pathetic. And then even against the Raiders last week, and although that wasn't a primetime game, there's just not much to love with Philly either. So when you can get 3.5 points at home, maybe Detroit's all in on this game in terms of they need that win. So why not?
Yeah. All right. And so when it comes to quarterbacks, like I said, we mentioned last night, maybe a little overreaction and still have Aaron Rodgers on your team. How do you play Cowboys for Sunday night when you don't know Dak's status just so yet? And then we do know that Baker Mayfield is in for the Browns, but we don't know how close to 100% he is or how healthy he really is. So how do we play these games, or do we avoid them?
Yeah, it's a really strange situation because the line's above 3. I thought it would be 3 just given the uncertainty with the Cleveland quarterback. But it's not like the Steelers quarterback play has been very good either. I mean, if this line were 3, I think everyone would bet Cleveland. So the fact that they got to put it to 3.5 to kind of get equal action is certainly interesting. And I would play the under. I think the first half under in this game, I think when T.J. Watt plays, the Steelers defense is so much better. I think first half under is the play for me because once, you know, these games get 2-score games in the early fourth, they start pressing and maybe forcing throws or going for it on fourth down. So I get you get kind of a cleaner half, I think, in the first half. So that's why I appreciate first half unders over games. So that's just a preference thing, no stats off the top of my head to kind of support it. But, yeah, I can't lay 3.5 with a backup quarterback in Cleveland if Mayfield's unable to go.
That is true. Before we get to your best bets, I know you weren't high on the Lakers this season. You told us that last week. And, again, the start they're off to, LeBron already injured early on, what they look like right now. Can you tell us what it was about them that even before the season it had you staying away from them?
Well, they don't fit offensively. While these guys are hurt, right, Ariza, Nunn, and some of their shooting, Ellington, while those guys are hurt and not playing, like, they just don't fit offensively. And there's always going to be attacks on a high-profile team like the Lakers. There's always going to be attacks on a player like LeBron. So there's just – you have to pay a tax to back the Lakers, and there's just no reason to, because Westbrook doesn't fit. DeAndre Jordan's not been that great, although he did play well the other night. I just think in general – the Lakers are playing the long game. They don't have the want to as well right now.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they're playing hard, relatively hard, and they're all professionals, but they're getting everyone's best shot, and they're just not that good. Like, they're just not that good. So everyone kind of writing them off is like, oh, they're definitely coming out of the West, or they're one of the teams to be. Like, I'm not so sure. Like, I guess LeBron and AD can figure it out, and we saw that 2 years ago. But the league itself is so stacked and, you know, well-rounded with shooters and everything, that some of these teams that chuck and duck, like the Hornets and some of these other teams that don't have household names, are really good. And the Lakers have a guy like Westbrook, who is a household name and former MVP, but if it doesn't fit and you have, like tonight they're laying eight to Cleveland, give me the Cavs all day.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll tell you what, here's the other reason why, and I don't know if we could see it until the games got live. No one's afraid of the Lakers. Like, there's no intimidation factor when they come in your building. We saw that from Oklahoma City. Down 26, they didn't care. They just kept playing, and they'll take the foot off the gas. You're so right about how right now, early in the season, they're playing for April. They're not playing for now. They could care less if they're the top seed or the fourth seed, which is why teams like that, especially older teams, you never want to touch over-under with them, because they're not really playing for wins. They're playing to get to be healthy by the time the playoffs start. And then we'll worry about it there. It's like a baseball team that knows they'll get in, so wild card's fine with them. They don't have to win their division, right? Like, you just know.
Correct.
Like, if I'm losing this game and I don't get the division, but I'm still getting the playoffs, I know we're going to do our damage. And so the Lakers are so that team that, you know, they're not aiming for winning. You know, remember the Warriors a couple of years ago? They wanted 73 wins. Like, they were all about that.
Sure,
The Lakers aren't playing that way. So that's I mean, it was great insight on the Lakers, because that's literally what we're seeing from them. They really aren't looking at this early part of the season. And I wonder if the Nets are this way too, because, you know, Steve Nash is already admitting they're kind of treating these early games as if it's still preseason, because they're trying to figure out lineups without Kyrie.
Correct. And get this. I was stunned when I just looked this up. They have the second worst offensive efficiency in the NBA. I mean, that's remarkable when you figure it's still Durant and Harden, but Harden's not getting the calls.
Right.
But to have the second worst when they were such an offensive juggernaut a year ago, it just shows you how much trouble they're having without Kyrie Irving in the lineup. So it's,
and also,
I mean, they're behind it. They're like, Oklahoma City has a better offensive efficiency number.
But it just shows you, too, Harden was such a difference maker, and when he's not on his game, everything falls apart.
Right.
KD is just a great, you know, he's a great scorer, but it's, you know, everybody else that's on that team relies so much on Harden for that offense to go. All right, Doug, this is always fun. So give me your best bets now for this weekend, week 8 NFL.
Yeah, college football, I'm going to lay some lumber here.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Cincinnati, minus 26.5. This number's come up a little bit. Okay, a couple things. They're playing at Tulane. Tulane's got a horrendous defense. Last week we saw Cincy struggle to win and obviously didn't come close to a cover. But that was Navy with that signature offense. Much different situation. Tulane is a sieve defensively. Luke Fickell, the coach of the Bearcats, said they have to finish better, and they need style points. And this is a team they can get style points again. Also, Michael Pratt, the quarterback of Tulane, uncertain status given he's in the concussion protocol. So I just think Cincinnati's going to open up a can on them right now, and they need to kind of get right. And you never know, because Tulane played Oklahoma to a close game earlier in the year. So if there's a little bit of a comparing resume, Cincy needs an emphatic win, so I think they do it in large fashion. I also like Oregon minus about 24.5 right now. It's more of a bet against Colorado. Last week, you guys might remember, I was on Cal minus the 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado's awful. They have two wins, one against FCS and the other was against Arizona, who's still winless, and it was like off a bye at home in the altitude. Just a perfect situation. Outside of that, they have all losses, haven't scored more than 14 points. Their offense is pretty inept. I just don't think it can hang at all with this Oregon offense. It's not the vintage Ducks potent offense, but it's good enough. They still push the pace and have speed at all the skill positions. They'll apply pressure. Colorado's going to have a lot of three and outs, short fields for the Ducks. It's at Autzen Stadium in Eugene. Back-to-back road games for for Colorado. So I'll lay the lumber with those two games. Okay. I also like West Virginia plus 7.5 at home against Iowa State. Mountaineers, I think, coming off their best game
It was after the bye. They go into TCU and really dominate after giving up an opening kickoff. I think they're going to be just fine and keep this within the numbers. Cyclones obviously playing good ball, need to really win out essentially to make the Big 12 championship game. But this is a tough ask. Above 7, I'll grab the 7.5 with the Mountaineers. I think they can win, but I like them inside the number.
I love it. This is a great time of year for college football betting, right? This is the best time because you kind of get a feel for teams and what they're trying to do. And obviously the worst teams are the ones that you really love betting against because you can see where they are at, as well as you mentioned with Tulane. Doug, great stuff as always. Good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, fellas.
All right, Doug Kazarian again from Daily Wager joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. You can tune into football action Sunday. The Bears host the 49ers. Coverage begins noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, when your owner gives you a public vote of confidence, it's probably best not to embarrass him with another lousy performance. So we'll see what happens for the Jets on Sunday. We'll discuss that. And, of course, have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But we're going to hook up one lucky listener with $3,000. When? Tonight. During the baseball championship game. To enter the win, here's all you got to do. Listen to the game on ESPN Radio. Tonight, Game 3. And at the top of the seventh inning, Dan Eduardo and Jessica are going to announce a winning word. You text that word to 777-000 to enter for the chance to win $3,000. So we've been doing this. Each game, we add $1,000 to it, right? So keep listening to all our ESPN Radio broadcasts of the baseball championship because, as I just told you, the prizes just get bigger and bigger as the series goes on. So if you get to a game 7, the final prize, $7,000. So there's no purchase necessary. You can go to ESPNRadio.com for complete sweepstakes rules. One more time. Listen to Game 3 tonight. Hear the winning word. Text it to 777-000 for a chance to win $3,000. Message and data rates may apply. We'll get to your calls next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Low key, a great 80s song, by the way. Got to admit, right?
Yeah. It was Orange Juice Jones?
No. The Rock.
Yeah, Rockers. Yeah,
Rockwell?
Rockwell, yeah. Creepy, man.
The video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spinal.
Michael Jackson helped him out with it, with a little, obviously.
Sound like a Michael Jackson. Like
yeah, yeah. But no, he sings the whole thing.
Straight like stalker song.
Hmm. Thriller still obviously like the one that the full video.
What was your favorite one that you loved the most?
What favorite one?
Off the Thriller album, the one that, you know.
Don't start. Let's not start. That's going down a whole other rabbit hole. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program. Now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at KeysToProgress.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to grab your calls in a moment. I just want to get Bart's take on two things. One, Giants, Chiefs, and how Harry Douglas said that if the Chiefs lose this game, their season's over. And he's saying that he also has a little bit of belief in the Giants as a team with their weapons and their quarterback. Is this game, now I know it's Monday, but is this game going to be a game for you that you feel like it's not a given? Like, that's a watchable game because there's a lot riding on it.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, what the Giants are supposed to have in Bradbury and, Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
Forget the Adoree Jackson. You know, they spent equity, good equity on those pieces. Azeez Ojulari has been what I said he was going to be. He was going to be like the best young pass rusher out of this group. I think they do have a good chance in just competing. It depends on, you know, how Danny Dimes is able to, you know, move the football. Are they able to score
against that defense?
Yeah, but also being able to understand that you have to protect your defense too.
Right.
Right. So you can't just go out there and be getting three and outs. Like, you can score one possession, but you can't have possessions where you're three and out and you give them good field position. Your defense just came off of having a good stop or something like that. And you're putting them right back on the field.
Right. Okay. So that game again, Monday night. Manning cast, by the way. So Eli will be in full big blue form.
He's going to be for that game. Protecting Danny Dimes.
Meanwhile, on Sunday, Mike White gets his first start Yeah, I know. For the Jets, they play against the Bengals. Joe Flacco's signed but not ready to start, so Mike White gets the start. Give me one reason as a Jets fan to watch this game.
Because C.J. Mosley and Davis are supposed to be back, so you can maybe hopefully see a dominant defense that, you know, now the pass rush can be able to get there now. A little bit different from what it was before, because all those screens and draws and things like that was when you have inexperienced, mm-hmm. you know, linebackers. Now you have the kind of like the band back together. This is a defense that they thought they were going to have minus Carl Lawson. When you think about May being back, now CJ being back, now Davis. Now he helps CJ make some of the communications, and he's supposed to be an elite player at that certain position. So maybe, just maybe, that can give them a chance to slow it down. And Mike White on the other side, you just hope that he doesn't turn the ball over and be able to try and drag Cincinnati down to their level, not let Cincinnati force them to play to their level.
Right, yeah. That's the other part of it, too, is can the Jets deal with all those weapons that Joe Burrow has at his disposal? All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get to your calls, as many of you have been waiting all show to discuss with us. How about Lance in Ohio? Lance.
Hey, guys, how's it doing, man? Good to be back on the show.
Thanks for coming back.
Hey, I think Aaron Rodgers is doing all this, man, just to get some control. I think he finally got what he wanted.
Clearly.
And personally, I think the Packers should send Jordan Love to Miami and get Xavier Howard and Jalen Waddle back. And you know what, Bart? I can't wait to see it happen.
He's going, can't wait on you. But, I mean, you talk about a one-sided trade. It's a heavily one-sided trade. Allen in Uniondale. Allen?
Allen, man, we got dead air, bro. What's up?
Yo, what's going on?
What's happening?
What's going on, fellas? What's
How you
going
doing?
On, fellas? You
All
already
right.
know. Yo, I was at the spot yesterday, Green Turtle, or SS Turnpike. Used to be Hooters. You know, everybody's repping the Knicks. It was crazy. So the Bing Bong, right? Is that the people getting on the train, or that's just like the new calling call?
Well, it's all those things. It came from a video that was made after the season opening win. Everybody was going crazy outside the building, and a guy just started screaming it, and I guess everybody just started going into it. You know, it's just, and I want to say it's the doors closing on the subway, which is what that sound is, of course, and that means get on the train now.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
You see what I mean? Like, that is letting everybody know, if you want to jump on this bandwagon, you better get on now. Like, don't start jumping on later on when it gets safe. You want to start believing in this team, you do it right now. That's how I want to do it. All in or all out. Yeah, that's how I want to do it. Plant your flag, you know? Jack in New Jersey. Jack.
Hi. Listen, guys, I want to know why Cam didn't get any consideration for this position. Flacco's such old news, and Cam's out there. Is it money? Well, why didn't he get a shot?
It's not money. It's that I believe that Joe Flacco was just here last year, so he has some continuity with the team. And also, I think he played in the Gary Kubiak offense, so I think it could be some familiarity with the verbiage and wording and the concepts within the system, because this is a West Coast type of offense. I don't know if Cam's ever played in the West Coast offense. And also the familiarity with Joe Douglas, I mean, who was with Flacco in Baltimore for all those years. I thought Cam's best opportunity was if Case Keenum stunk up the club, then he could have came there and been part of that run game. You know, he can still throw the ball down the field, but also be like that 11-on-11 runner as well, to kind of add a different element to the Cleveland Browns.
Is Cam going to play this season?
I don't think he does now.
Do you think by now he would have?
At this point, what's you know, if Washington didn't panic and say, okay, well, Cam come in instead of Heineke, because eventually over there, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to come back. So it's like, where does he go? And why do you bring Cam in when you know he's not the future at the position? So what is he coming in for you if you're a team that's not, you know, considering being able to play the playoffs? Are you not close to the playoffs? Who cares?
Yeah, it just seems like any team that is uncertain at quarterback has a young quarterback, right? Yeah. Like, there aren't many teams where there's a huge question mark. Washington is one of them. You know, they really are.
They love Heineke.
They do. I told you. Rivera loves them. All right, let's continue.
And he knows Cam.
Pablo's in Pennsylvania. Pablo.
Oh, yeah, on the Power Hour.
Power Hour.
Hey, I want to say, man, I love the show, man. I always listen to you. Y'all make my day every day.
I want to say something, and I got a request. I got a request. Mm-hmm. I want to say the Bulls and the Knicks being good is so good for the NBA. So good for the NBA. I got dudes calling in talking about they're going to knock my Sixers off from the four spot to two spot and all that. And you got people tuning in because the Knicks are good again. It's just so good for the NBA. And I got my request. My request is, can you please put that Deion Sanders speech on again about practice, man? Cause I got my head coach talking about flowers and popping and all that, but I want to hear Deion.
I like it. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I tweeted it yesterday, but thank you, Pablo. I don't have it on the page anymore, otherwise I'd play it right now for you. But maybe before the end of the show, going into the weekend, we get, what are you doing, by the way? You're making a mess.
I was trying to get my straw out so I can drink it because the top was dirty on the drink. You know, like you buy drinks, and the straws was like the little coffee straws.
So it fell in?
Yeah, so I was trying to get it out, and now they just fell on the floor.
People need to understand this. So while we were doing this, and Bart's listening and talking to callers, he's also pouring out part of his drink.
It's water.
Then you got it's all over your hands now. It's dripping onto your laptop.
I'm a mess. But I got to stay hydrated on the show, man.
No, I appreciate it.
I don't want to cramp up.
It's just funny. Of course, this is the hour we're not on. Plus, you can't see this stuff, but it's hysterical just watching you go through all this stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Just to get a straw.
It's just a straw. World Series on ESPN Radio, presented by AutoZone. Catch all the action tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You got a quick thought?
No, not at all.
Okay, so we got
to get something to wipe this.
All right, so we'll finish with your calls. We'll see if we can find that great speech from Coach Prime that we want to get everybody fired up going into the weekend. See, we start the show with that motivational speech, our open, and we should close it with a little motivational speech as well towards the end.
Jerry, so
if we could find it, that's right. I missed that. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Like, is this the ultimate go-to song? When it comes to Halloween music, right? It does. Halloween Sunday, everybody. Well, safe. Be well. Mine's playing tricks on me.
Ba-ding, ding, ding.
See, that is low-key a really, really creepy
Halloween
song.
Fell on the weekend.
Me and Ghetto Boys was trick-or-treating. Yep.
Grabbing little kids.
Big bang. Yeah. What was his name?
Bushwick Bill.
Bushwick Bill. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Willie D. Scarfizzle.
They were really good, man. I'm sorry.
And even Scarface.
Not a lot of people know about it. Scarface is great. Yeah.
Like you talk about Houston rap, that deep Southern rap. Mm-hmm. Like they were the voice of Houston. Then you had Memphis was 8-Ball MJG. Like this was all before people looking at like
UGK. Wasn't UGK Texas?
Yeah,
UGK, also?
Yeah, they were Houston. UGK.
They were Houston?
Yeah, but they came after.
Later, yeah, later.
They came after, they were in between. They like the Outkast days when UGK started coming up.
They were
later. That's
on,
when you had like a sound. Every territory had a sound.
Right.
You have Virginia.
Unique. Yeah, Atlanta had a unique sound. Yep. Obviously, you mentioned Outkast. Yep. Yeah,
you have VA with Timberland, Magoo, and Missy Elliott and all that stuff, man. Like, who else? And the Neptunes.
Mm. So we can go regional if you want. We could do that. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, what game are you watching Sunday? You have to watch the Jets because you're on SNY.
But I'm watching other stuff at the same
time. But what is like the game you're like, man, I want to catch this game?
I want to see the Colts and I want to see the Titans because Harry Douglas, I was only being tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but like traditionally the Colts used to break the brakes. Remember, they owned that division, right? And even last year with Phillip Rivers, they kind of owned that division. And before with Luck, they always owned that division. And I want to see if they can kind of reclaim because when Tennessee looks at them, they should be looking at theirself. You know what I mean? But they have a better defense.
Yeah. The game, it's also a 1 o'clock game. That's a 1 o'clock game. I want to see Steelers Browns. I really, Baker's going to play.
Get out the car, Craig. This is the rematch.
Yeah. We're in your house and you got some payback and that defense is tough. As you know, there's something about that division. As you know, you played in it. AFC North. There's just something about that division. Certain games just hits a little harder.
Yeah. They rub the Steelers face in it. And listen, a lot of people retired because of that, pouncing on the bench crying because of that, right?
Yeah.
While they over there celebrating. And finally, now TJ Watt get to walk in. Hey, you knocked them down. Why don't you try necking me down?
Hey, yo, thaw me.
I ain't heard no bell.
All right, let's go to John in North Carolina. What's up, John?
Hey, man. So glad Bart and Hahn is back together, literally. Hey, check this out. The best thing for me with Milwaukee and Phoenix last year in the championship series was there was very minimal of that garbage that you saw throughout the season in these last few years. The garbage I'm talking about is the kicking on the three pointers.
Oh yeah,
getting up on the arm.
Well, you saw Chris Paul. Chris Paul did a little bit of that in the conference final. Remember he and Patrick Beverly, that weird play coming around the screen. Yeah, a little bit of that. But you know what, though? I'll tell you what, John, thanks. You know, Trae Young, you hear him already complaining about it, that he's not getting those calls. James Harden's not getting those calls. Even Lillard's not getting some of the calls, and it's changed. But you know what you are seeing? Toughen up. But you know what you are seeing, though? You are seeing it's a better game to watch.
And ain't all these dumb breaks all the time, just stopping every time and let them play through some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Trae Young, you want to stop in front of somebody, that's your fault. Deal with it. When you fall down, whatever. Now you're going to start just falling on the plate. Then you're going to get a penalty for flopping.
They should definitely do that. All right, so we are going into the weekend. Of course, we have football and everything else to watch this weekend, but we also have Halloween on Sunday. We want everybody safe and enjoy the day, of course, the kids and everything else, costumes and all that. But by request, we begin our shows with motivation. We're going to end this week with more motivation. Coach Prime and his motivation for you as we take you into the weekend. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks, as always, for listening. Coach Prime, take it from here.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.